so worshipful. All right, go back to Psalm 119. You may remember a few weeks ago we looked at the eight verses right after this. And it seemed to be a blessing to many of you. You responded so well to it that we're going to look at another portion tonight. As we said before, there's something in this psalm for everyone at all times, no matter what the need may be. You can go to this psalm, and this met my need. I've entitled this, The Cry of a Troubled Soul. The Cry of a Troubled Soul, and you'll see why. Look at verse 25. David says, My soul cleaveth unto the dust. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Now a believer, only a true believer, has the feelings that David expresses here. Only a true believer goes through the things that David is going to, David has gone through and is going to express. We're getting in on David's private conversation with his Lord here, and it's the conversation of every believer. And he's not talking about financial troubles. He's not talking about life afflictions. He's not talking about job problems on the job or in the family. He says, My soul. I got soul trouble. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. What he's saying there is, I'm down and I can't get up. Ever been there? He says, I'm down and I can't seem to rise out of this. Quicken me. Quicken me. For whatever reason, believers get down. All believers get down because of their sinfulness, because of their guilt. All believers get down, they feel dirty in the dust because of their wretchedness. That brings you down. And if the Lord allows you to waller in a little bit or see yourself, you stay down, you think, I don't think I'm ever going to get up again. Huh? My soul, that's what David's saying. My soul is cleaving to the dust. We all get down because of whatever, trouble, sorrow, sickness, whatever it may be. And we get down and we think, I'll never rise out of this. My soul cleaveth unto dust. Quicken me. David says, I want to live again. The word quicken all through the Scriptures means live. I want to live again. Quicken me. Make me to live again. Live toward God. Dust. David talks about dust. And that's what this world is made of. Everything in this world is made of dust. And that's what it's going to turn to. Isn't that what the Lord said to Abraham, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And everything with us. And yet we cleave to it at times, though. Dust and ashes. Quicken me. I want to live. I want to be dead to this world and alive to God. That's what David is saying. Quicken me according to how? What's God's quickening power? What is it that makes dead sinners live? What is it that makes dead believers live again? What is it that gets down and dirty sinners and pulls them up out of the pit? The Word. The Word. Preached Word concerning Christ the incarnate prayer. Christ the Word. That's the only quickening power. God's Word. Scripture says that His Word is quick, powerful. It's able. The only thing that I remember, I love what old Peter said to our Lord. When everybody else was turning and leaving. Hard things and a hard path to walk. And our Lord turned and looked at His disciples and said, Will you go too? I love what David said. To whom shall what you're saying is life to me? I was dead before I heard it. And I'm dead when I don't hear it now. What you say is life to me. I need it. Quicken me. According to your word. Look at verse 26. I have declared my way, and thou heardest me. And what's he saying? He knows he's not saying, I've told you that I'm a good fellow. I've declared my righteousness unto you. And you know I'm not guilty. What he's saying here, Jeanette, is I repent. I confess. I'm declaring all about, I've declared, you know my sincerity, what little I have. You sure know my hypocrisy. Peter said, I love you. Lord, thou knowest all things. You know I love you because you gave it to me. But you also remember when I didn't act like I even knew. Don't hide any people. Believe it. There's only guilt in hiding. You just harbor guilt, you harbor it. And it just brings you down. But look at this. He said, I have declared my ways and you heard me. You heard me. You know we need a sympathetic ear. We need a sympathetic ear. We need somebody to talk to. We really do. Someone to listen as we pour out our hearts. Well, David said, you heard me. Every time. Yeah, he does. Why? Why would God hear a worthless worm like us? Why does God hear such ungrateful wretches as we are? Why? Why would he? That's right. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Because the blood is ever before the Lord. He'll always hear. He'll always hear. Thou heardest me. David said, I've declared my ways, everything about me, and you heard me. And sometimes it's just enough to know that he hears. And he says, teach me. Now, if this all sounds very similar, that's because David really got nothing new to say. We're going to say the same thing, but David said it. God recorded it. Same thing. David said that, remember, verse 33, teach me, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. We're going to say that the rest of our life. Would you teach me? Huh? I thought I'd learned something. And here I go again. Would you please teach me? Teach me thy way. Teach me thy statutes. Every verse in this psalm speaks of God's Word. Every verse but two has reference to God's Word in it. Every verse in this psalm, but I think two verses. That's because the Word of God is a believer's only help. Only help. Only help. And other believers are only help as they can bring the Word back to you. God's Word is our only help, our only hope, our only strength, our only comfort, our only encouragement, our only instruction, our only correction, our only consolation. Only consolation. Words of life. Words of eternal life and life to live, the words to live this life by. Well, David says, teach me. You're the master. I'm a student. Teach me. Verse 27. Make me. You remember this? Say this again. Make me understand. Now, don't just teach my head. Make me understand with my heart. If we really understand, we'll heed God's Word. If we really understand that what God has said is the right way, then we'll listen, won't we? Huh? We didn't listen to our parents until we came to understand, did we, Steve? We did not listen until it was almost too late. till we finally understood, hey, what Dad, what Mom's saying is right. And they're saying it out of just pure love. And it's good and it's wise. Make me understand that, would you? Make me understand the way of thy precept. The way. It's the only way. Not a way. The way. And then he says, if you do, then I can talk about it. You know, you have a hard time talking about the gospel when you're not even, when you're not much abiding by it yourself. Don't you? Anybody understand what I mean? You have a hard time talking about God's word when you haven't paid any attention to it yourself. Why? Well, Lord, if you'll make me understand, then I'll talk about it. And I'll be able to tell somebody. So shall I talk, he said, of thy wondrous works. I'd like to be able to speak to others better, wouldn't you? I'd like to be able to speak of the gospel to you, one another, from the heart more sincerely. Well, teach, make me understand. Make me understand. And I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it. But I've got a problem. We've got a problem. It's a continual problem. Look at verse 28. This is it. Got soul trouble. My soul melted with heaviness. David says this several places in the psalm. My soul cleaveth to the dust. My soul melteth. Verse 81. My soul fainteth. Peter said this. Talk about heaviness, soul heaviness. All believers go through it. Peter said, let me read it to you. He said, you greatly rejoice in the gospel and the word of your salvation, but now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. And that word temptation is both trials and temptation. And the believers have many of those. Many trials. Especially temptations with sin. And many, and they weigh us down. They weigh us down. Till David said, my soul melteth. The word droppeth. It's like a candle. You remember our Lord, I think it was Psalm 22, where he said, my soul is poured out like wax. I think it's melted. Somebody said that tears are the distillation of the heart. The distilling of the heart. Tears. David, that's what he's referring to. David's talking about crying. My soul melted. My soul is coming out down my cheek. My soul melted in heaviness, through heaviness of whatever the trials you go through whatever temptations that weigh us down until our hearts break, and then we melt. He says, strengthen me. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Only thing, again, it's the only thing. Only thing, only one, Christ, the Word. Only one, the only thing is God's Word that's going to strengthen us. Christ, the Word, sinner, Savior. If your soul melts, the heaviness of your sins is only one way out. The only one thing to pick you back up again is to hear Christ the Savior of sin. Christ's substitutionary blood. Christ's redeeming blood. Christ is the weak man's strength. Christ is the helpless man's help. Christ is the sorrowing sinner's joy. Christ is the tempted man's helper. Only by hearing of him, strengthen thou me. According unto your word, according as I hear of Christ, my strength, my help, my Savior, my substitute. Verse 29, now here's a real problem. Do you have this problem? remove from me the way of life. David talked about lying a lot. You know that? In the psalm, he said, we come forth from the womb speaking lies. It comes easier. But now, have you gotten over it? Tell me. If your skin is on the line, and lying gets you out of it. Come on now. Lying. We're prone to lying. David, he said, deliver me from lying lips. He wrote that song. I didn't write it down. It was a song that he wrote that says that, lying lips. Deliver thou me. Oh, how I hate lying lips. He said, he's talking about himself. That was when he acted the fool. Remember when he acted like a blooming idiot before that king to save his neck? You remember that? Remember when he feigned himself as a madman? Foaming at the mouth. You remember that? Wasn't that horrible? How could it? And then he said later on, he said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. So he says, remove from me. I want to be done with this. Lying lips. We're prone to lying to cover ourselves. Cover ourselves. We're prone to lying to improve ourselves. I don't suppose anybody in here ever exaggerates anything. Ever builds yourself up for somebody, whatever. We're prone to lying. To prove ourselves before in the eyes of
to impress others, aren't we? David says, we remove this from me. Who am I trying to impress? It's all lies. When I'm discovered, when I'm found out, then it's worse than if I told the truth. I read that recently. It said, if in doubt, tell the truth. It'll always come out right. So David said, remove from me the way of life. Remove me from it. I want to be true. How? Look at verse 29. Grant me thy law. Your word. You see, it's all based on the word. Or if you hide your word in my heart, then lies won't come out. Maybe it'll crowd out the lie. I want to be true. So only by the truth planted in my heart will we be true. At all times. I want to be true. And so only by the true one, Christ, the truth, taking hold of me, teaching me, and keeping me. David, I like what he says here. He says, grant me thy law graciously. It's like he's asking a king, would you graciously, oh gracious king, would you please grant me this wish that you would put your word in my heart? So that might be true. Verse 30. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. Now this is not an idle boast. This is not a proud boast. Roy, this is not a self-righteous man saying, I chose Jesus. I accepted him. I want to ask everyone in here, everyone who professes to be a believer, see if you can't say this with David. I have chosen. I have chosen the way of truth. Huh? Now, it's by God's grace. Yes. The scripture says, my favorite verse, Psalm 110, verse 3, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. Yeah, that's my, no, maybe it's Philippians 2:13. It is God which worketh in us both the will, for that is true, and do of his good pleasure. I know that. But I have chosen the way of truth. I have. I do. I do choose the truth. Don't you? If offered a choice, here's this false gospel, here's the truth. What do you do? I choose the truth.
But you know what it says about you? You've got to have it. I will. I have. I've chosen the way of truth. There was a time when our only choice was sin, right? Can you say? Let me ask you, everyone. Here's the word. All the riches, like Satan tempted our Lord with. Okay, here are all the kingdoms of the world. Here you go. You can have it. Right, here's Christ. What will it be? Honestly, ask yourself. Choose what you will. Here's the world. You can have it. Health, wealth, and happiness. You want it? Or Christ? I have chosen the way of truth. Have you? And when that's not, see that, John? It's not a self-righteous man's boast. But by the grace of God, it's just the honest answer of a redeemed and regenerated heart. I have chosen the way of truth. Huh? Here's this. Here's this. We'll look at it. Huh? Choose you this day, and you'll serve. Is that Joshua that said that? Choose you this day. As for me and my house, to serve the Lord. Well, he says in verse 30, I have chosen thy judgments, have I laid before man. Yeah. There they are. Right there. In your lap. Do you know if you go in the average so-called church, it's hard to find the Bible? Honestly. Did you remember that place we went to down the road there? Where the pastor didn't even have one? Might as well not, he doesn't think it's good. But thy judgments have I liberally laid before me. Open them up. Look into them. You know, the world doesn't care what God's word says. They don't care, Father. They don't care. They really don't. You can tell them what you will from God's word. They're not interested. That's the reason they're not carrying Bible. That's the reason preachers aren't preaching from God's word. There's nobody interested in what God has to say. But David says, a man after God's own heart, and every believer says, thy judgments have I laid before me. Yes, I have. Here they are. I'm stuck on them. Verse 31. Well, I'm stuck on them. You ever been stuck on anything? Can't seem to get away from them? I'm stuck. You stuck me. We're stuck, aren't we? We're between a rock and a hard place. Stuck unto thy testimony. Step. Oh Lord, put me not to shame. Put me not to shame. Now, the Lord's not going to put us to shame. I was looking at this today. Maybe this will be a help to somebody. Look over at Isaiah 63. This was a big help to me. Isaiah 63. David says, oh Lord, put me not to shame. Now, the Lord doesn't shame His people. He never has. He never will. We put ourselves to shame, don't we? The things we do, the things we don't do, the things we get into, we put ourselves to shame. We bring shame and reproach on the Lord. We put Him to shame, don't we? He never puts His people to shame. He never, in God's Word, ever did He put somebody to shame. As a matter of fact, like David's sin, or whoever, Jacob, all the wretched, vile sinfulness of God's people recorded in God's Word, He never brought them out in public and put them to shame before everybody. He didn't bring David up and say, look what he's done. Only Nathan and David knew about that. The Lord dealt with David, though. He dealt with him privately. But He didn't put him to shame. You see that? Because our Lord doesn't do that. He doesn't do that.
What David is saying here, I believe, is look at this. Look at Isaiah says in verse 17. Isaiah 63, O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy way? You know what he's talking about. The Lord doesn't make his people to err. What are you saying, Isaiah? I mean, why did you allow me to do this? Why did you allow me to act like that? You could have kept me from doing that. You could have, by your power, restrained me. You could have, by your sovereign power, constrained me to do otherwise. You could have kept me from falling in that pit. Why didn't you? Now, he's not blaming the Lord. You understand that, don't you? Huh? Every one of God's people understands. Why have you allowed this to happen? So that's what David is saying there. Why? Why does he allow us to feel our sin? Sin and to feel it, to feel our guilt. Why? David's calling on the Lord, isn't it? David's looking to Christ. David trusts in the Lord will never be put to shame. Never. Never. Oh Lord, put me not to shame. Verse 32 in conclusion, he said, I will run the way of thy commandment. I will. I've chosen thy way. I'm stuck here. Lord, you're not going to get rid of me. That's kind of what Peter was saying. You're not getting rid of us. No, we're not worthy. We're stuck here. And I will run. I will run. I don't feel like I can walk in the path of righteousness. But I will run the way of thy commandment. When? You enlarge my heart. See, out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart. My son, he says, give me your heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart. Heart. I will run when you enlarge my heart. Enlarge his heart. We've said that before about somebody. He's big hearted. That means somebody is full of compassion toward you. Somebody that's full of feelings. Somebody that's you know, their heart goes out to you. Well, David says, I'll run the way you're commanding. When you enlarge my heart. And what he does, though, the first thing he does to enlarge it is bring it. You see. To fill something up, you got to open it up. And I will run the way of thy command. When you enlarge my heart, I will rise when you pick me up. My soul cleaveth unto death. I'll rise when you pick me up by your word. I'll walk when you set me in paths of righteousness for his name. So I'll talk when you make me quit lying. I'll run when you enlarge my heart, when you touch my heart with your word. So quicken according to your word. Christ the word. All right. Stand up. Our Lord, your word is a light, a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. Thy word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing. Able, Lord, to discern the thoughts and very intents of our heart. You know us through and through. You've searched us, found us out. You know us, our down city and our uprising. And we're glad. And we've declared our ways unto you. And it's not because we've declared them that you should forgive us, but because of Christ. We plead him. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Take it, use it powerfully, as only you can and must. Your Holy Spirit. Cause us to dwell on these things, Lord. Hide it in our heart that we might not sin against that. For the soul troubled, the melting heavy soul, Lord, use these words for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.